I think that's it. Open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Going to make a third part to combat commands, and we're just going to call this warfare prayer today. Father God, thank you, God, for calling us. Thank you for equipping us. Thank you for the armor of God. Thank you for everything that we need being given to us. Now, Lord, we ask you to train us and teach us in a greater way to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 17, the last 2 weeks we talked about spiritual warfare, talked about being strong in the Lord, talked about putting on and using the spiritual armor. We talked about standing against the devil. We talked about what it means to wrestle. We talked about doing everything we know to do and then standing firm. But we can do all that, and I'll tell you that it's not enough to put on the full armor. We must pray. Prayer is our communication network with our general. It's our satellite intel and our guided missiles that breach time and space. Did you notice everything about the armor? It's for close quarters combat. But prayer tips the scales. And prayer is our superpower. It tips the scales and changes the battle space. I got a little video of an eagle and a snake. You got that ready? Hallelujah.
This is the white-bellied sea eagle in the South China Sea near Borneo. When this eagle spreads its wings, the banded sea snake sees the movement and dives. The eagle is a formidable predator, and now it's on the prowl. Sure enough, the eagle power dives after it. The snake can only stay underwater so long. It'll have to surface for the briefest moment to get some oxygen. And in that moment, the eagle has harvested the sea snake to provide food for the next generation. Believe it or not, snake-fed baby eaglets are more likely to survive in the wild than chicks raised on other foods. Like most parents, adult eagles will do whatever it takes to give their kids the edge. If that means learning how to bag sea snakes, so be it. Someday, maybe these chicks will do the same for their babies. Let's take a look at another capture. As this eagle soars upward with his prize, the snake makes it his business to paralyze the eagle with a deadly dose of snake venom. Let's slow it down. As you can see here, the snake does get a piece of the eagle's leg, but doesn't quite get the chance to inject the venom. The eagle wins. It takes a magnificent, well-deserved victory lap to the cheers of the throng.
There's so many spiritual lessons in that, I could preach a whole sermon on it. But you need to teach your kids how to fight, not how to live easy. Because kids raised on killing snakes and eating snakes do better than kids that aren't. But what I want you to see is the eagle took the snake out of its element. It had no ability to fight. It had no leverage up in the heavens. The eagle took the fight where the eagle needed to take the fight. Doesn't mean the eagle is not subject to snake venom. It just simply means that the snake can't get its leverage there. That's where the fight is, church. That's where we need to always take the fight and quit fighting on the devil's territory. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. There is a very wrong teaching about a good theological doctrine called the sovereignty of God. And the teaching sort of goes like this. Well, God is sovereign, so he's going to do whatever he wants to do. So it doesn't matter if we pray. The sovereignty of God ought to make you pray. That idea is based upon a wrong interpretation of what sovereignty means. That word is actually from two Greek words that mean supreme and ruler. He's our supreme ruler. But he gave the stewardship of earth to man. And God joins us when he's invited to do so. But he's given us the right to leave him out. James chapter 4 and verse 2 says, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you do not have, here it is, because why? You do not ask. See, prayer doesn't make God do anything, but it calls on God to intervene in ways that he already wants to, but he won't unless he's asked. I like the way Jack Hayford put it. He said, never doubt that we are making a difference in prayer. We are sometimes tempted to pray as though we think God is arbitrary, as though he says he gives us privilege and authority in prayer, but really just goes around doing what he wants to. Nothing could be further from the truth. Scripture has recorded what he says. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear. We need to challenge the heresy that exists unchallenged in the subconscious of many Christians that what will be. As sons and daughters of the living God, we need to come to grips with the false idea of predestined fate. Even though things and people may be redeemed, they are not redeemed without someone stepping in. Jesus stepped in to redeem us, and we need to join him in stepping in to redeem others. That's good. I mean, you're not amening as good as that is. But it's that good. That's a double amen worthy good. So I've got five little things to share about prayer this morning. Number one, the frequency of prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always. It says praying always. Do you pray always? For a lot of people, prayer is like the national anthem before the ball game. It gets things started, but it has nothing to do with what's going on the field. It's like a formality. I just got to make sure I pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. How in the world do you do that? It's telling us to pray at all times in every situation. Pray when you're happy. Pray when you're sad. Pray when you're suffering. Pray when things are going good, when things are going bad. Pray when you're prospering. Pray when you're persecuted. Pray when you feel his presence. Pray when you feel Satan's presence. Pray when you're seeing results, and pray when you're not seeing any results. Pray at home, pray at work, pray in the car, pray when you're cooking, pray when you're cleaning, pray when you're just chilling, pray in prison, or pray in a palace. Whatever you do, pray. And pray all the time about everything. Prayer is more than just your lifeline. It's your lifestyle. The act of praying is more important than the answer. You'll have to take that home and meditate on it. You'll have to pray about that. Pray your way through the day, because that space between you and God gets occupied by something called consequences. God's not telling you if you don't pray, you're not going to heaven or you're not saved. But if you are allowing space between you and God in your life, it brings in consequences of whatever fills that space. And we usually don't know what those will be till after we have them. Don't let your mind be vacant throughout the day, because the battle is your mind. It's in your mind. A lot of people believe in the power of prayer, but they fail to stay in contact, and they see no provision from their prayer because they're not making contact. Your contact is prayer. Some of us have, some of you, I switched, but some of us have satellite TV, and satellite TV has a receiver. That receiver doesn't create anything. All that receiver does is take what's already been programmed up in the heavens, if you will, and pull it down from the heavens so that you can see it and experience it. But it doesn't make any of it up. But it is in a posture to receive that which has already been programmed for it. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24 says, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear." Isn't that amazing? The answer to our prayers are already provided. It's just waiting on a call. We can leave it all up there. We've got to make the call. God wants to send it, but he won't send it unless we make the call. Why does God do that? I don't know. It's the way he decided to do it. Amen? You know, you don't have to know the answer to everything. You just need to know God said it. I saw a video. I saw a video of a church where this woman was being delivered from a demon. And it was a really cool video. But this woman was very obviously demon-possessed. She was speaking, but not in her own voice. And this preacher was in front of her casting this demon out. And there were several people around also praying for her. And she said, "I hate you." And he said, "Why do you hate me?" And she said, "Because of that prayer. Stop praying that way." And he said, "Why do you hate that prayer?" And this is what got me. She, in serious torment, and this demon speaking out of her, said, "Because it burns me, it burns me, it burns me." When you pray, you're burning a devil. He hates it. He hates it. Prayer is a lot more than Christian sloganeering. We have all these slogans we shout and say, but if they're not backed by prayer, the devil just laughs at us. This is really, truly like a real war. It's spiritual warfare, and it's like a real war. And the devil's very first priority is to destroy all your communications so that you'll be fighting blind. In every war, that's what the armies go after first, the enemy's communication structure. If they can take that down, they know they can probably beat them easily. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 says, I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. But we also need not just the frequency of prayer, we need the fullness of prayer. Verse 18 again, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In other words, use every kind of prayer. Pray at every opportunity. Pray at church. Pray in your secret place. Pray in public. Pray loud. Pray quiet. Pray on your face. Pray standing. Pray with your hands up. Pray with your hands down. Pray walking. Pray kneeling. Interceding. Pray with fasting. Pray in agreement with people. Pray when you're all alone. Pray in the shower. Pray in the sanctuary. Pray on the sofa. Pray when you're sitting. Pray at a set time. Pray anytime. Pray all times. Pray with thanksgiving. Pray with praise. Pray with tears. Pray with groans when you're in trouble. Pray when you're hurting. Pray when you're under attack. Sometimes you can only sigh your prayer. Sometimes you can only say, help. Sometimes you can just get out, Jesus. But that's prayer. That's all prayer. I've told the story a few times that there's been times, lately more often than not, when I'll come in this sanctuary to pray, and it's like I'm running the bases of the ball game, and I start down the aisle, and I just have to slide into home and go, oh God, that's all I can do. That's why I got all this rug burn on my belly. However you pray is perfect if it's from the heart and honest. It's perfect and not mechanical or rote. Sham and pretense is the death of all prayer. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus said, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The Jewish people were praying all the time. But Jesus said, their heart's not there. So it doesn't really mean much. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So be honest. Tell him where you're struggling. Tell him when you feel guilty. Tell him when you're feeling tempted. Tell him when you're afraid, when you're confused, when you're hurt, when you're grief-stricken. Tell him what you're angry about. Tell him if you're feeling cold and far from him. Tell him when you're lonely. Tell him about your complexes that sometimes are so complex you don't even know how complex they are. To be real honest with you, sometimes when I pray, I feel like a mighty man of God. I go in before the Lord, says, let's go, God, let's get them. And other times, I'm just a whimpering little sucky baby. I really am. All I can do is barely make any noise because I need him so much. Don't try to pray like somebody else. God wants to hear from you, not somebody else or your imitation of somebody else. God wants it to be like breathing for us. He wants a conversation born from a relationship, not a ritual. The best way to pray, here, you want to know the secret to the best way to pray? The best way to pray is the way in which you actually pray. That's the very best way to pray. any other way, God doesn't care much about. Are you actually praying? Some things you blame on God is the devil. Some things you blame on the devil is God. So tell me, where are you going to know who is doing what unless you know the who that is doing what? It's got to come from that relationship. There's been many times I've talked to the Lord and said, God, why did you do that? And he'll stop me and say, I didn't do that. And it's a surprise to me because I thought he did. Other times, I've said, God, look what the devil did. Da 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 da. And he says, I did that. I remember very distinctly back when Bill Clinton was elected, either the first or the second time, I don't remember which, but I remember where I was. I was driving down Houstonville Road, just about to pass Taco Bell, and it had just come on the radio that Bill Clinton had been elected. And I was going off. I said, God, how could you let that guy, the devil's in the White House now, and he's a liberal and a Democrat, and on I was going. And all of a sudden, God cut through everything I was saying with a very loud, clear voice and said, I did it. I was shocked. I was shocked. But it shut me up and shut me down and sent me to prayer again. And the Lord showed me after that that God will give a nation what it demands in leaders as judgment. We got what we demanded. I'm afraid we also got what we have in the White House. The same reason. God have mercy on us. People want God to bless them, but not to change them. They don't want him messing with their messes. If God already wills it, Pastor, why do we have to pray for it? Because he wants someone on earth to want it enough to bring it from heaven. God's plan for you must be released by prayer. There's no doubt in my mind that every person in here that knows Jesus has an incredible destiny. Even if you don't know Jesus, you have a destiny that could be realized. But your destiny and what God has for you is never going to be realized if you don't pray. You will discover it as you pray, as you have intimacy with God. So James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for three years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So that says that Elijah was just like us. He wasn't Superman. He wasn't Spider-Man. He wasn't Wonder Woman. You can be Wonder Woman now if you're a guy. He wasn't any of those things. He was a man exactly like you and me. He was just in right relationship with God, so he prayed effectively. You cannot keep a long-distance relationship with God and hear the sound of rain. What do I mean by that? When Elijah had his great victory on Mount Carmel, he spoke to Ahab, the king, and said, you better get to Jezreel, I hear the sound of rain. When he said that, the sky was completely blue, not a cloud in the sky. There was no thunder anywhere, but Elijah heard the sound of rain. Ahab didn't hear the sound of rain. Why didn't Abraham hear the sound of rain? Because he wasn't plugged in. He didn't have a relationship, a righteous relationship with God where he could hear. Your proximity to God determines what you hear. You won't hear the will of God for you if you're not close. You'll be like Ahab, who knew the word of God. Ahab knew the word of God, but he didn't know how to apply it to himself and for the situation and the times that he was in. If you drive toward Lexington, and you've got 12:30 a.m. on the radio. That's the local Danville station. The closer you get to Lexington, the more it's going to get static and start breaking up. And by the time you're in Lexington, you won't be able to get 12:30. In fact, another frequency is going to take over that radio frequency. The further you get from God, the more the communication is going to break up. And you go too far and some other frequency is going to take over. It says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Supplication simply means specific request. When you sow corn seeds, you expect what? Corn. You don't go out in the cornfield and sow corn seeds and just hope maybe you'll get some wheat. Right? If you want corn, you sow corn seeds. You got to pray specific. If you need money, how much do you need? Don't just pray, oh God, save people, but pray, God, save my friend Joe. Heal my wife Pam of cancer. Be specific. I shared earlier, I said you've got to take it seriously, but also don't take it so seriously. In other words, don't get so burdened and stressed out about it, because we tend to slack off when we feel stressed, and then we don't pray because we don't want to think about it. God created prayer to take your burdens, not to add stress to you. Philippians 4:6, I love it, so do you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Anxiety is just the opposite of prayer. Satan works in an atmosphere of stress, chaos, confusion, fear, anger, and just being generally out of control. But if we bring our burdens specifically and leave them with him, verse 7 of Philippians 4 kicks in. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard, put a sentry, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that peace of God standing guard over your heart will say, back up, Satan. You stay over there. And his peace will keep and guard your heart and your mind. 1 Peter 5:6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Prayer is transferring the burden. If you walk out of prayer and you're still carrying the burden, you didn't pray, you just griped. Here's what we do. I need a Jesus. I know, I don't feel worthy. Just pretend here. Anybody gonna help me out here? Male or female, I don't care. Thank you, Nick. Jeez, gotta get these people saved or something. All right, so here's what we do. Stand right here. Nick is Jesus. Yeah, you struck the jackpot, didn't you? We come in with our burdens. And we come in to the place of prayer into Jesus and we lay our burdens at his feet. And we go, there it is, Lord. You see that? You're going to pick it up?
Okay.
No. But you didn't do anything with it. What are you going to do with it? Come on, what are you going to do with my burden? It's right there at your toes. Something needs to be done, Lord. It's just sitting there. Fine. That's what we do. Right? You're dismissed, Jesus. When we bring our burden to the Lord, and sometimes, I don't know about you, I got spiritual Velcro on my fingers. And I keep giving it to him, and I keep taking it back. And we need to just keep bringing it until we leave it. And then that peace that passes all understanding. Psalm 55, 22 says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But I want you to catch what it's saying. He'll sustain you only if you cast your burden. You got to cast the burden to get sustained, or else you're trying to sustain yourself. And then it said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Did you know that we can pray in the flesh? That's just being led by selfish desires, going just by what we see and know, doing things ritually, mouthing words with no spiritual attachment to them. But prayer in the Spirit is a partnership with the Holy Spirit. It's being led by, directed by, empowered by, and helped by the Holy Spirit. It's applying the Word of God or the principle that's in the Word of God to current circumstances at the direction of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I believe that passage is specifically referring to praying in tongues, but praying in tongues is also praying in the Spirit, but it also means being yielded to and being led by the Spirit as you pray. In English tongues, however you pray, but being led. And you have to be born again to be able to pray that way, right? And it helps you a whole lot if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then there's the focus of prayer. Verse 18 again, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. I like the New Living Testament in that passage. I've got it somewhere, or I had it written down. Did you put it up there? That's New King James. Man, what happened to my New Living Testament? I had it on there. Okay, there it is. Pray in the Spirit at all times, and on every occasion, here it is, stay alert. Stay alert. Watching is being alert. Watching is being focused. The enemy tries to lull us to sleep. He tries to tell us it doesn't really matter if I pray or not. Does he ever pull that on you? Of course he does. An atheist said to a bishop one time, prayer is a waste of time. If anything does happen, it's just a coincidence. The bishop said back to him, well, you might be right, but this one thing I know, the more I pray, the more coincidences happen. Amen. We've had thousands of coincidences happen at these altars. It's It's amazing how coincidental it is when you pray. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Satan knows that our God is all-powerful, but he also knows that it is through believing prayer that we appropriate in actuality the victory that is already ours legally. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, here's the word, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So he roars and he tries to intimidate and tries to get our eyes on how dark and evil and bad it is, so we will fear and despair instead of pray and stand.